Hello and welcome to PBS Western Reserve's City-Centric podcast series. Hello everyone, my name is Jeff Good, and this podcast series serves as a companion to our City-Centric TV series, where we take kind of a closer look at the community members that are centric or central to the pulse of each featured city. Community members like, let's talk about the entrepreneur, or the entertainer, or revitalizer, politician, humanitarian. We even look into the future and how they are featured in each of the city-centric episodes, appearing weekly exclusively this fall on PBS Western Reserve. The City-Centric podcast series takes a deeper dive with each of our featured city-centric community members. We'll take an opportunity to look even further into really what makes them city-centric and really what makes their city centric to them. Today's guest is Kent community member and entrepreneur Mike Beter. Mike Beter is a New England native, and his family moved around Massachusetts before moving to Ohio because of his father's work in the medical equipment industry. His family eventually moved to Ohio and settled in Westlake. Beter graduated from high school in Westlake, where his parents still reside. Beter attended Kent State University. He participated in student government activities, including being both student body president his senior year. During this time, he also bartended at the now Robin Hood Bar with his former boss at Robin Hood. Beter financed the purchase of Belly's Deli, which is now known as Water Street Tavern. Mike Beter is now a father of two and a serial entrepreneur focused in hospitality, retail, and property rentals. Mike is the owner and partner of the Water Street Tavern, the Loft, the Venice Cafe, Kent Sportswear, the Cleveland Bagel Cafe, and Lake House Kitchen and Bar, and others. He is also involved in Gold Zone Rentals, a string of multi-bedroom rental houses located near Kent State University's campus. In his free time, Mike also co-directed the Crooked River Arts Festival, a nonprofit responsible for organizing the Kent Blues Fest, Kent Beetle Fest, the Kent Rocks Music Festival, and the American Roots Festival. That is a mouthful. Welcome, Mike.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, in a very short period of time, we got a chance to meet you, and I enjoyed, as we talk about it, it has been about a year and a half since we first shot the Kent episode, but I had a chance to meet you that way, but I also had a chance reading your bio. But what are some things, as our listeners are listening right now to this podcast, that they may not know about you that we didn't cover in either one of those sections?
Well, you actually, I misdirected you, or at least whoever gave you a bio gave you a good one, because those are actually all accurate. But when we actually filmed the city-centric, I don't think we had the Loft or the Lake House at that point.
Okay, great. What are some other things that folks may not know about you?
I hope a lot. Father of two, live in Kent, enjoy sports and going to concerts and dining out, and we have I love our neighborhood. We just had a big block party yesterday with a ice cream truck and watched a Browns game and barbecued and all that, and I love that.
So I do this with every guest, Mike. Yep. We do an icebreaker, and it's called Two Truths and a Lie. So I want you to tell me two truths and a lie. They don't have to be in any particular order. And I gotta warn you ahead of time, I've been pretty good so far. So I'm going to try to guess which one of the three things you tell me is your lie.
Okay. I got a call from Joe Walsh last week. I am a big Boston Red Sox baseball fan, and I traveled abroad for the first time this year.
That's tough, because I know you're a Massachusetts guy, and I'm going to guess that the traveling abroad is not correct.
Nope, you missed it.
It was Joe Walsh.
Yeah, okay. I didn't hear from him.
Well, you got me this time. Yeah, I told you, but you did a really good job.
I made you give me time to prep.
No worries. Mike, what's interesting is, and when I was looking through and listening and watching the program, I found that, you know, you had a comparison to we talked about being an entrepreneur and being a father, and you compared compared those. So you want to elaborate on that a little bit when you talk about being a father and also how similar it is to being an entrepreneur?
You know, I think, I had kids relatively late in life. I'm 46 now, and I have a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old. So my professional career was underway by the time I had them. But I gotta believe there's some parallels to just thinking on your feet and being resourceful and prioritizing all those things that are true in small business and entrepreneurship that kids throw at you on a day-to-day basis as well.
And probably the ability to answer any question that comes at you.
Oh, sure. I think, or at least, deflect.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, that's great. I love that comparison. I thought that was, being a father myself, but my kids are grown now. I can remember those days and that the pivoting, the always never knowing what the question was going to be. So all of those are just great comparisons to being an entrepreneur.
Negotiation. Yeah, exactly. Negotiation's good.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that funny? Yep. Mike, you mentioned that in the show, you mentioned the part about the integration of the college students in Kent along with the Kent residents, and you mentioned how well that works. Why do you think that works so well in Kent?
I mean, it probably works because of necessity, but I think it's an opportunity. And for me personally, it's just kind of funny how, I started in Kent as a college student, and my interests business-wise, for the most part, have kind of developed as I've grown older too. Like when I was 23 and got my start, I was interested in the college bar scene and the social aspect of it. And then as I got a little older, it got into coffee shops and restaurants and retail and things that don't have to, you don't have to be up at midnight to manage.
What do you, and we talked about, but this follow up on that question is, you talk about your life as a Kent college student and now being that entrepreneur and seeing the Kent students today. What are some differences that you are seeing with those Kent college students, different from when you were, and then as you progressed through it being a business owner?
I have conversations with people about this all the time, because they're minor differences. Kent's always been a relatively blue collar, right? Like it's obviously not an Ivy League school, so as tuition has gotten more expensive, I have seen students take college a little more seriously, I think, than when I was here. And definitely from stories I've heard, previously, like, that, kid who sticks around for 6 or 8 years, that's not feasibly, or that's not economically feasible at this point. I also think it's kind of interesting how smartphones have been part of the equation. Like, I always use the example of, like, when I was in school, I wasn't necessarily a big drinker, but I still went out with some frequency because it was a social outlet. I wasn't, I don't think I was overdoing it or anything, but I'd be bored if I was sitting around at home. And I think a lot of kids went out more than for that reason. And now all these kids have that social outlet a little bit, or not a lot, with their phones. So they, if there was a guy or a girl they were hoping to run into, if they wanted to see what their friends were up to, that kind of thing, they were kind of forced to go out and see what was going on socially, where you can just call or text someone right now, or they're like posting updates to let you know what they're doing. So I do think the drinking, the real bar drinking scene is down a little, comparatively to decades past and at past. And that's the reason why I would think it's a pretty educated guess. That being said, there's endless examples of, kids being kids, and I don't think it's ever going to go away.
You mentioned in the series that your family growing up, you didn't really have kind of an entrepreneur background. You know, you were the one that had the lemonade stands, and you were flipping cards. And so, as you look back on that, what is your advice for folks that are listening right now about becoming more of an entrepreneur in their community? You know, any top tips or
maybe not a specific tip, but I would say there seems to be more opportunities now than ever to have a quote unquote side hustle, right? Like, even what we're doing here, people are making podcasts at, frankly, an alarming level. But 20 years ago, you had to, invest in a lot of equipment. You might have even have to like rent a studio, that kind of thing. And now, there's plenty. I mean, you guys have great equipment, but there's plenty of podcasts that are done on iPhones and iPads, and it's really simple. I don't know exactly how those get monetized, but obviously they do. I think it's like the safest time to be an entrepreneur. Because you can maintain a job for your overhead, but still kind of dip your toes in the water and then see if it turns out to be anything you can really make something of.
Great tips for folks out there. For our listeners out there, you're listening to the PBS Western Reserve City Centric podcast series, the City Centric television series. Keep in mind, it's just not about the city, but more about the people, people like Mike that are central or centric to that particular city. The TV series focuses on folks like the revitalizer, the entertainer, the entrepreneur, the politician, the humanitarian, and even takes a look at the future that each community member can claim makes them city-centric. What you're listening to right now, the City-Centric podcast series, takes kind of a deeper dive with each of our featured city-centric community members, and we look further into really what makes them city-centric and really what makes their city centric to them. So be sure to catch all of the City Centric Series 1 appearing exclusively on PBS Western Reserve. That's been premiering through the fall. And so we're so pleased to be continuing talking with Kent entrepreneur Mike Beter. And we're finding out really what makes Mike's Kent city centric. So in the City Centric Kent episode, you mentioned all the businesses that you currently operate in Kent. So take an opportunity, give us some stories to tell about getting those businesses off the ground, some hurdles, some success stories, some fun stories as you think about your portfolio of Kent businesses. What are some things that stick out?
I'd prefer not to, be cynical or negative about it, but I thought was really interesting was when we started Kent Sportswear about 2.5 years ago. And my partner, Justin Heiser, there came from another retailer in town. He had the opportunity to purchase it and just asked me what I thought about it. And I said, I think it's a great opportunity, and we can do the same. We can start the same thing ourselves for half as much. And you're right. And that's how Kent Sportswear started. So we have a building on South Water Street downtown, right in the middle of all the action. And the building we took over had like a black and pink like awning and facade, and then there's only like 4 panel windows on the front. It's longer than wide, and then it was it's an older building and was painted the trim was painted white. So We had the genius idea of painting it blue and gold, since we were selling Kent State gear, and we were downtown. It seemed right. So, we just painted it. We didn't, I guess there's a process for if you're in downtown. I didn't think about it, honestly. I just asked for it to be painted. And we got a letter from the city saying that we had to go to the architectural review board. And then when they did, they disapproved of our paint colors. And we had to take it to, we had to get it overturned by city council. But I just thought that was very interesting about how they, and there was nothing in the code really that said, that says Kent's a historical district, that it, that those colors weren't allowed. So I don't know. I found that whole situation very, very odd.
That's interesting. And, yeah. I guess what our listeners, you know, learn from that is that it's like those unexpected, you didn't expect that, you know, but then, so as you, as
not at all, don't take anything for granted.
Exactly. That's a great point. So when you think about your first business acquisition, which has now become the Water Street Tavern, you're going to get in the Wayback Machine and you're going to have a chance to go back in time. Would you do anything differently as far as putting, you know, how that all progressed? Because that was such an interesting story on its own.
Not anything major. You know, the property I started in was 62, fire code of 62 people. So it allowed me to not have to hire a full-time manager. Like I was filling that role. I mean, the space wouldn't allow it, we couldn't afford to take up the extra body in there. And then I was fortunate where I got bigger, or I grew as space dictated. And it just all kind of came together somewhat naturally. No, I mean, I have plenty of maybe little regrets or, you know, could have been a little more on the cutting edge of a few trends, but no, for the most part, I mean, it was all dumb luck, but it worked out all right.
Well, obviously some educated luck. I don't know.
Yeah. If it's,
so Mike, you're a Kent resident. And you're looking in the crystal ball, which is kind of telling you, as the clouds form and the crystal ball tells you, you're going to look and see the future of Kent. So what do you see as Kent's future?
You know, I do see it just continuing to progress. And I'm not saying that for selfish reasons, but every once in a while, I'll have a friend who's bringing a son or daughter here for a tour, and they'll get a hold of me and ask if there's anything they should see, or if they can stop by somewhere, that kind of thing. And it allows me to walk through the city with kind of a different set of eyes, I'll be reminded that, hey, this is pretty great. Like I always say that, I'll use you as an example. Where'd you go to school?
Near the Youngstown area.
Okay. What's the first word that comes to your mind from that?
From my high school years?
Yeah. Okay.
I would say very similar to you. I mean, it was more of a social environment for me. Those are the memories and the friends that I still have to this day.
Sure. And you also, you got an education at that time, but, you know, you talk to a Kent grad and they aren't going to say, oh, McGilvery Hall. They're not going to say that. They're going to say Ray's Place or sledding down the front campus or the, coffee shop or pizza shop, they met their wife or husband. So my point with all that is I look at how the university is doing as good a job or maybe better than ever of showcasing the downtown along with the university, because I think people now more than ever realize that that's a major part aside from the education.
So, Mike, I ask this question of everybody. So Mike Beter, Kent entrepreneur, what qualities, characteristics, personalities, or a combination of all those makes you city centric?
I think I am resourceful, and that's from being in the community for as long as I have, and the makeup of the people in the community that for the most part have always been very helpful and outgoing, resourceful. And maybe collaborative would be another word I'd use as well.
I laugh because you're one of our few guests that can say that you learn about fatherhood from being an entrepreneur. I think that's one of the most interesting parts of this. Mike, thank you so much for being part of our guest on our City Centric podcast series. You've been listening to PBS Western Reserve's City Centric podcast series. Once again, I'm Jeff Good, and PBS Western Reserve's City Centric television series is not just about the city, but more about those people, folks like Mike, that are central or centric to that particular city. The TV series, which is premiering exclusively throughout the fall on PBS Western Reserve, focuses on all kinds of folks, like the revitalizer, the entertainer, the entrepreneur, the politician, folks like the humanitarian, and even the future that each community member can claim makes them city-centric. The City Centric podcast series that you've been listening to takes kind of that deeper dive where we talk to each of our city-centric featured community members, and we look even further into really what makes them city-centric and really what makes their city-centric to them. Well, you know what? What makes a community member city-centric? Well, join us next time as we continue the conversation with those featured community members on PBS Western Reserve City Centric series. And once again, make sure you check out the City Centric TV series premiering through the fall here exclusively on PBS Western Reserve.